Good morning. Hope you're off to a good start this last day of summer school. For most of you, how many in today? This is it? No more summer school after today. Many? All right. And I trust that you're looking forward to a special time this weekend. What is Sunday? July 4th, right? What do people typically do on the 4th of July? Fireworks, okay, good. What else? Very common also to do what? To have cookouts, to have picnics, right? And a little bit different, 4th of July on a Sunday this year. My guess is a number of you would go worship the Lord Sunday morning with your church family. Then you might have a cookout in your backyard. Now, let's say you go to a cookout on the 4th of July. You're in your backyard, and you have the grill fired up, and you're cooking whatever, cooking chicken or steak or whatever you're into, hamburgers. And you have friends come over, you serve it on paper plates, and your friends all come over, and they're dressed in shorts and flip-flops and casual t-shirts. And they're just having a nice time, you're having a nice casual picnic on your deck. Is that okay? We okay with that? Any problems with that? Anybody offended by that? Is it wrong to be casual? Would anybody be offended and say, you know what, they ought to dress up? You know, if they come to my house, they ought to dress up. At least they should wear Ohio State t-shirts. You know, there you go. Let's raise the bar. No, but you would say, well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with a casual picnic, right? Now, is it true that some people would prefer differently? Some people might prefer to have a nice 4th of July dinner. And maybe your grandma, for example, she would go in the dining room and she would take the china out and she would take out the nice silverware and she would make something very nice and everyone would dress formally and you would sit around the big dining room table and you would have a very formal dinner. And that's fine. Because if we're going to have lunch on the 4th of July, whether you want to do it casually or formally, wouldn't you really admit it's simply a matter of personal preference? Would anybody say that there's a biblical absolute there? You know, you're wrong, right? Here you are eating on paper plates. That's wrong. You know, that's worldly. Right? It's wrong to be casual. No, I think we would say it. Most of us, I think we would say that's fine. And at the same time, if you wanted to have a nice dinner, and if that's what grandma wants, that's fine too. I'll use a second example. Let's take vacations. Maybe your grandma and grandpa, we'll just use them, are going on a vacation. Maybe they're driving in a big RV. You know, a lot of retired people, they like RVs, right? And then so they, maybe grandma and grandpa, they jump in their RV, and they're going to take a very casual vacation. You say, what would that look like? They don't have very specific plans. They don't have a map. We're going here, 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 here. They just drive until they feel like stopping. And they stop. How long do they stay in that place? Until they feel like leaving. And then they drive some more. And then they hit the next RV campground place and they stop. Grandma and Grandpa, how long are you going to stay here in Branson, right? That's where all the people go. You know, maybe if you're a grandparent, you haven't been there, you're not cool, okay? So you go to Branson, and that's where you hang out. We're just going to hang out until we feel like going somewhere else. You would say, you know, you guys are pretty casual in the way you do vacation. And they would say, yes. Now, you may prefer differently. You may like to have every hotel set up, every campground set up. You might want to know exactly where you're traveling, where you're going to stop to eat, and you're very, very rigid in how you do things. That's okay. Either way's okay. You can be casual in how you take a vacation, or you can be very particular in how you take a vacation. I think we would all agree it's a matter of personal preference. Certainly, we live in a culture that has become increasingly casual. You say, is that good or is that bad? I think in most areas, we would simply say it's a matter of personal preference. If you want to cut your grass in a coat and tie, that's fine. If you want to cut your grass in modest yet casual apparel, that's fine. We're talking about personal preferences. So in our country, which is becoming more and more casual, which I would assume is true of other countries, even though I don't go abroad enough to know, we have found something else taking place. And I don't think it's news to anyone that it's becoming more and more common to have churches with casual worship, where Christians come together, listen to preaching, and sing songs, but they do so in an intentionally casual way. You say, well, how would you know that it's intentionally casual? Well, I get mailings every now and then that's, you know, hey, we're starting a new church, and there'll be a picture, say, of a pair of jeans and a pair of flip-flops, and it'll say, come casual. And it's very much up front. There won't even be a picture of the Bible. It'll just be a picture of jeans and flip-flops. Come casual. So obviously that matters to them. That's important. You say, well, then how would you know it's a casual church if you were there? Well, there's probably many ways to determine that, but certainly dress would be one. If we were to walk into a church where Christians were worshiping and we saw a lot of people, I'll just say in shorts, in our culture, this is going to vary by culture. But in our culture, if I saw a lot of people with t-shirts and flip-flops and shorts worshiping, I would say, well, that's definitely a casual gathering of people. Now, here's my question. Is that okay? When you graduate and decide where you're going to spend your life, or at least a portion of your life occasionally, is it okay to go to a church with casual worship? Would it just be a matter of preference? Now, as I think you know, there are many people who would say, yes, it's fine. There's really nothing wrong with it. It's just preference. And you may wonder, well, I wonder if that's true. It's certainly true of picnics. It's certainly true of RV traveling. There are others who would say, no, it's obviously wrong because everything new is wrong, right? Everything traditional is right. And then you could say, well, there was once a time when things that were traditional were new. Well, then they were wrong back then. But today they're right because we know the old ways are the best ways, right? And you hear people say that sometimes. And we have this debate going on. And some would say, it's pure preference. Others would say, no, it's not, because everything new is wrong. Right? You say, so what do you do? Well, that's a good question. I'm a pastor of a church. And we have people in our congregation who are on both sides of this fence. And there are people who are convinced that any time we do anything that's new, it's wrong. And there are other people who are convinced that just about anything to do with worship is preference. And so as a pastor, and it's not my call because our church polity involves actually a group of elders, but as one of our elders, what I'm supposed to do is I'm supposed to be a leader. And I'm supposed to be helping people come to conclusions that are biblical. So one of the items that I've wrestled with recently is there really teaching on how to worship? Is casual worship okay? Is it strictly a matter of whatever you think best goes? Or does the Bible teach us that we should not worship in a casual fashion? Well, I started with looking up the words. I looked up the word casual in a dictionary. You could pronounce it with two or three syllables, if that helps. Casual or casual. Okay, now if you're from North Carolina, you always add an extra syllable. So I guess for you it's three or four. Okay, so there we go. All right, so you can say casual or something like that. Definition: occurring by chance, occasional, feeling or showing little concern, nonchalant, informal. I'm a casual jogger. You say, what does that mean? I jog when I feel like it. You say, how often do you jog? Oh, I don't know. Some weeks three times, some weeks twice, some weeks once, some weeks occasionally, I'm sad to say, Not at all. I'm casual. It's just not that important. This definition applies to me. Occasional, feeling or showing little concern, nonchalant, informal. That's how I jog. You say, well, what other type of church meeting could there be if it were not casual? Well, there's another word I looked up. It's a word called reverent. You say, what is the word reverent? Two or three syllables again. It's what the dictionary says. Reverent or reverent. Either way. Adjective. It says it's from the verb revere. So now I have to look up the word revere. What does revere mean? Verb, transitive. What comes next? To venerate or adore, to honor and admire profoundly and respectfully. So now I'm starting to get a handle on this. How should I worship God? Casually. That would be showing little concern, nonchalant, informal, or reverently. To honor and admire profoundly and respectfully. I'm immediately thinking, wait a second. Casual jogging, I'm fine. Casual picnicking, I'm fine. Casual worship, nonchalant worship, showing little concern worship, occasional worship, occurring by chance worship. That seems questionable. That doesn't seem like it would be worthy of our God. It would seem that we would want to venerate and adore, honor and admire profoundly and respectfully our God. Which means I'm already beginning to think that I would never go to a church that engages in casual worship. Just based on definitions. In fact, I would never go to a church that offers me the choice of take your pick, two services, reverent or casual. But I'm still not sure because I haven't yet looked in the scriptures. Do I find any help in the scriptures? Well, open up to Psalm 2, please. And I'd like to just take a brief look at two separate texts in Psalm 2, and then we'll take a quick peek at Psalm 5. Psalm chapter 2. And I'll make a very simple point. The title of the message is simply worship, casual or reverent. And I have two simple points. The first point from Psalm 2:11 is we respond to God's Son with reverent worship. Psalm 2 is about the Messiah, the anointed, the Christ. You see that in verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed. That's the Christ. Here they are opposing Him. Which really doesn't make a lot of sense. Look at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. How can you oppose the plan of God? It's laughable. Because Messiah will rule. Look at verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heavens for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So here is God declaring that the Messiah, the Anointed One, will definitely rule. And what's our response? It's worship. Verse 12, kiss the Son, pay homage to the Son, lest He be angry. But notice what comes right before verse 12. It's verse 11, which is the verse I want to focus on. Serve the Lord with fear. Now, the word serve there can be translated worship. The New American Standard translates it that way. Worship the Lord. And the word fear is not the idea of, oh no, God's going to get me. You know, and I know He's going to get me, so I'm really afraid right now. Why are you so afraid? Because God's going to get me. He's going to zap. No, that's not the context of the word here. It's more the idea of what? Of reverence. And again, that's how the New American Standard translates Psalm chapter 2, verse 11. Worship the Lord with reverence. How do we appropriately worship our Lord? The one who sends His anointed, the Christ who will reign and defeat every foe, with reverence. our worship would always be with reverence. You say, well, why would we want to worship God in the first place? Good question. Let's go to our second verse, Psalm chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 7 and have a second point. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7. Our first point, we respond to God's Son with reverent worship. You say, why would I want to worship God? It has to do with this concept of loving kindness. Something that God shows to me. The King James often translates it as mercy, as it does here in verse 7 of Psalm 5. In Psalm 5, verse 7, but as for me, I will come into thy house. That's a worship context. We're talking about worshiping the Lord corporately. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And the word translated there, mercy, is again that word that we frequently translate loving kindness. It's this covenant love or loyalty that God shows to us. It's the idea that God is so incredible to us that our response is we would choose to worship Him. That's Psalm 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. You see, our worship is always a response to God. A lot of people are confused on this, right? Why do most people go to church? Most people go to church because they're trying to get something from God, or they're trying to do something for God. Right? I really want something, so I'm going to go to church, I'm going to worship God, and maybe He'll give it to me. Or even with ancient idolaters, God's really mad at me, I'm going to appease His anger. So if I make a sacrifice, or if I come to church, now He's not mad at me anymore. You say, what is that? That's everything Christianity is not. What is Christianity? Christianity is the idea that God is really, really mad at me, and there is absolutely nothing I can do about it. I mean, I can give all my money to poor people. I can go to church every day. I can read my Bible every day. And it does nothing. Because there is nothing I can do. God is mad at me. Because He's holy and I'm sinful. You say, well then what is the very essence of Christianity? It's realizing that there's not a thing I can do. That God's mad at me. And He deserves to be mad at me. And there's only one chance I have. And that's that I could somehow be reconciled to God. Even though there's not a thing I can do to be reconciled. You say, well, then how could you be reconciled if you can't do anything? Because someone has to do something for me. And so as Jesus Christ dies on a cross and pays the penalty of my sin is imputed to His account, and His righteousness is imputed to my account, and I am declared righteous. That's the good news of the gospel. And for the first time, I am personally a recipient of God's loving kindness. And then what happens? Back to verse 7. As for me, I will come into that house, into thy house. Why? I want to worship God. How do I come? In the multitude of thy mercy. Because of your loving kindness. Lord, you love me, I worship you. That's how it goes. I don't earn anything. But I want to worship you, God, because of your loving kindness. You say, well, then how do you come to worship? Look at the second half of verse 7. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. As another translation puts it, at your holy temple I will bow down in reverence. How do we worship God? With reverence. With reverence. Does that involve more than dress? Absolutely, yes. But it certainly includes our dress. How can you reverently worship in a casual fashion? It's an oxymoron. It's mutually exclusive. Now, I'll be the first one to say what reverence looks like is going to vary with culture. And in one culture, reverence looks this way. And in another culture, reverence looks that way. And I don't have biblical teaching on exactly what it would look like to dress reverently. So you'll never find me saying, he's not reverent, he doesn't have a coat. She's not reverent, she's in slacks. Because I have no biblical basis for saying such things. But I do know that you should be able to look at me when I worship this incredible God who has given me loving kindness. And you ought to say, you know what? He's obviously not casual. And I ought to be able to look at you and say, you know what? You're obviously not casual. And you ought to be able to walk into our church worshiping and say, you know what? It's clear that they embrace reverent worship. And I ought to be able to walk into your church with your church family worshiping and say, you know what? It's obvious you guys believe in reverent worship. And if I were to graduate, as some of you are doing, and I were to leave and go to start finding a new church home, and here I am visiting this church, and I see the sign, traditional reverent worship, whatever, this way, casual worship this way, I know what I'm doing. I'm already saying to my wife, God just spoke to me. Not extra biblically, but biblically. Because I see in Psalm 2 and I see in Psalm 5 that God wants us to worship Him with reverence. Now, if they're going to have a casual outreach thing, no problem. You know, you want to go out to the park and put out watermelon and cook burgers for the community and blow off fireworks and then have a wonderful evangelistic service on the 4th of July so that you can see people hear the gospel and by God's grace, maybe He would do a work of grace and some would come to Christ. That would be a wonderful thing. But when God's people come together, they worship God with reverence, never in a casual fashion. I hope that as you guys get out of school, transition into where you're going to be spending life, that you'll take seriously this very simple truth that we worship God not in a casual fashion, but with reverence. That includes much more than the way we dress, but certainly the way we dress is one indication of our heart's attitude towards this God who has showered us with loving kindness. Let's pray. Father, we pray that always your word would guide us in all that we do. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to desire to know it and by your grace to live it, always with the goal of bringing you the glory that you so richly deserve. In the name of your wonderful Messiah, our Messiah, the Anointed, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.